This is Bowen Yang.
And Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers.
And Bowen Yang.
JBL wireless earbuds are for those who are the first to try something unique. The first wireless earbuds on the market with a touchscreen case, which allows you to control your audio without reaching for your phone. They also have a touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control. I love being able to touch my buds and control the volume. With a built-in wireless transmitter that lets you plug and play with any device you want, JBL wireless earbuds connects you to all your favorite music, movies, and games. JBL wireless earbuds. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
Enterprise leaders are revolutionizing their marketing operations with AWS AI. This proven technology turns resource-intensive advertising processes into intelligent, autonomous systems that deliver real-time optimization on a global scale. Amazon's own transformation journey shows the true power of enterprise AI innovation. And now, your organization can tap into the same technology that drives Amazon's advertising success. AWS AI, where advertising meets intelligence. Discover the Amazon ad story at aws.com/AI/our-story.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
$400,000 of lobster was stolen in a seafood heist that sounds really difficult to execute. It sounds like the kind of thing that's more hassle than it's actually worth, even if it's 400 grand, because the lobsters were all alive. But here is a news report talking about a thing that really happened in our society.
$400,000 worth of live lobsters headed for Costco were stolen from a Massachusetts shipping facility last week. The CEO of a logistics industry trade group says the thief posed as a trucking company worker. And this is likely part of an organized cargo crime ring.
Of course it is.
TVs, things like that have serial numbers. Again, those are targeted as well, but a little bit easier to track. Obviously, you know, lobster doesn't have a QR code on it, or lobster meat doesn't have a QR code on it to, you know, track it down.
And this isn't the first time this has happened. It's the second major seafood theft in December alone.
That is crazy. That's crazy that we have so many different organized versions of theft and chaos and other things going on. Not that we don't know about this in our society, but that it's gotten so bad that people are stealing $400,000 of live lobster by posing as members of a trucking company. And again, I feel like the hassle there, I'm not telling the criminals how to commit crimes better. That's not the goal. That's not my intention. But the hassle can't be worth it in that grand scheme of things, unless you're dropping them off very quickly somewhere else. I wouldn't want to house the live lobster for any amount of time before I exchange them to some other place. I am trying to be a little tongue-in-cheek about how I joke about this because it's terrible. It's awful to see, you know, that level of crime in so many places in our society, but it's definitely there. And also, again, on the list of things that I would ever steal, which I'm not intent on stealing anything, live lobster would be way at the bottom for things that you'd actually want to deal with a post-theft. Other things out there that I thought were kind of interesting, a bunch of New Year's Eve events have been canceled around the world, a lot of them for security concerns. Many people are saying after the Bondi Beach attack in Sydney or things like it, that they're concerned that the New Year's Eve parties themselves will be targets for individuals. I've always said this, and I'll say this here, it is much better to keep the event and secure it, and there's a whole lot of ways to do that, than cancel the events and let the bad guys win. The bad, horrible people out there who do bad, horrible things want our society to have to choose between hosting events and not hosting them, essentially handing power to the people who do the bad things. When the reality is that what we need to do is have a few veterans stationed outside of places, security teams paid to protect places. And if someone goes after something, it needs to be a hard target, not a soft target. And the person who goes after it needs to regret it. If we have enough of that happen in our society, these things will stop. These things will at least become less commonplace. That is always the problem that stares us in the eye that so many people want to ignore, is that you need to make targets harder and you need to make people, you know, capable of being harmed for trying to harm others without having to be worried that at some point, say, you know, the cops show up. You need to have people in place in positions of capability with training necessary to do it to immediately stop threats. That just needs to happen. More of our society needs to be like that. That is acceptance of the reality of the world we live in, not this, not the canceling of events because we're too afraid of trying to do the right thing and protect them the way that we need to. But it's uniquely a shame. that I saw that story out of the UK and in about a bunch of places about how many events this time of year are being canceled and how many people might be afraid to even go places in general because of that threat risk. I'm afraid to go nowhere because I'm armed, and I think you should be too.
This is Rob Gronkowski from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. Sunday mornings are sacred. I've got my game day routine, coffee, jersey laid out, and my lucky playlist. But the real game changer, new morning Uncrustables sandwiches.
I've always loved Uncrustables sandwiches, and now I'm all about the new flavors with 12 grams of protein, bright-eyed berry, or up an apple. Bright Eye Berry's got that flashy, finessey vibe, like your favorite slot receiver.
Up an apple, tough and reliable, like a do-it-all tight end.
And players love them. Did you know teams crush over 80,000 Uncrustables sandwiches a year? They know what's good.
It's a snack that can go with you anywhere, from the couch to the tailgate, or even in the locker room. Soft bread, yummy fillings, protein-packed. Once it's part of your ritual, you don't skip it.
Easy enough for Gronk to grab straight from the freezer.
Your new Sunday kickoff ritual starts here with the new morning Uncrustables sandwiches packed with 12 grams of protein.
Hi, I'm Andy Staples from Andy and Ari on 3, and another five-star quarterback just entered the transfer portal. That's what college football is now, a nonstop adventure, and we cover it every day at Andy and Ari on 3. Whether it's the transfer portal, the college football playoff, the coaching carousel, you name it. And guess what? It doesn't stop even when the season ends. So join us every day, Monday through Friday. New episodes drop at 3 p.m. wherever you get your podcasts.
But none of that is what I actually want to talk about. I'd actually rather talk about a clip from Joe Rogan's podcast that went very viral. This is on the heels of the Nick Shirley video that went, of course, very viral. And the reason Shirley was so important, independent journalist, a million, I think, subscribers on YouTube before he put this video out, only like 1.5 million views on YouTube, according to that platform, but 100 million plus views on Twitter. And this is kind of, I think, where Rogan is going. The censorship of society at a time when technology allows all of us to, you know, rise to the top of the news totem pole and do something that mainstream media should have been doing, that local news media should have been doing and didn't do, visit all these locations that are potentially very fraudulent places in Minnesota, taking millions of dollars for child care and autism care and everything else and not doing any of that work at all. A YouTuber was capable of doing more in 24 hours than media was willing to do, if not capable to do, for quite a bit longer. But here's part of what Rogan said. There's a bad word in here that we cleaned up, so I will definitely have to skip over that bit. But a lot of really interesting stuff is said here. Here we go.
When Elon purchased Twitter, and I don't say this lightly, I think he changed the course of civilization. I really do. I think we were on our way to this weird dystopian censorship complex that was already moving. We had already had intelligence agencies that were contacting Twitter. We know this through the Twitter files.
Yep.
And they were banning certain people that weren't saying incorrect things, but they were saying things that were inconvenient. And they turned out to all be accurate. All the things that they were warning about, all the things that they're saying, all turned out to be accurate. They stopped the distribution of the Hunter Biden laptop story.
Yeah, and I'll stop it right there. He uses that as one example of what he's saying, that there's a lot of things that turned out to be accurate and true from the quote-unquote conspiracy theorists that were all getting silenced and having their platforms shrunk on social media. What's funny about that, I wasn't deep diving into the world of conspiracy theory at the time, but I certainly was giving my opinion, and I was on a radio station in Illinois at the moment. My social media feeds, I think, were censored. And the only reason I think that is because in the last year, every time I post anything on any of my Radio Craig C on social media, if you want to find me, not a huge following anywhere. But anytime I post anything like a picture, a text post, something that's not even really valuable, Facebook and some of the other places tell me my reach has been extended. Like, hey, just letting you know, we've expanded the reach you have because you're posting such quality content. I need to take a photo of that and put that up on social media itself It's happened multiple times this year, and I've probably been lazier than I've been in a while on social media, so I'm doing less. But somehow this is quality content, I think, because of how long my platform and a lot of platforms that are very little got censored because we were saying, as Rogan calls it, inconvenient stuff. Stuff that was inevitably true, but not necessarily favored by these outlets. Rogan goes on, though, to talk about how big of an impact Elon Musk has had.
Totally accurate story. And to stop that accurate story is wild.
Yes, it is.
That is scary stuff.
Yes, it is.
That, if Elon didn't purchase Twitter, we would have just had to deal with that kind of stuff. That would be, and it would accelerate. It wouldn't stay where it is. It would ramp up. It would get more. They were starting to use the term malinformation. So there's misinformation, disinformation, and then malinformation. Malinformation is factual information that might cause harm.
Yeah, that's crazy that they were using those terms and doing that, but that is absolutely true. Elon Musk buying Twitter and allowing it to be a platform that was uncensored comparative to the other ones. There's still some censorship that exists there, but very, very little. And as Elon said when he bought it, he was essentially only going to censor out what would be illegal anyway, like full-on threats on other people's lives and things. There would be, repercussions to that kind of behavior. But other than that, almost nothing. Mainstream media went crazy about it and told you how all of it was, essentially allowing the worst of society and people who are white supremacist Nazis or what have you. They got a voice back by Twitter. And Nick Shirley, 100 million plus views on Twitter, 1.5 million on YouTube or something like that. And I know the views are calculated differently. I know that 100 million views on Twitter doesn't necessarily mean 100 million people watched all of that video or even all that much of that video. But they're at least aware of the story because they saw some version of it in their feed and some version of information there. Sharing information at that scale is vitally important to our society being able to protect itself, especially when that information winds up being true and valuable, which I think will be a byproduct of it being viral. Most people that I've talked to about this in response to all these positives and all the, what they call it, like MAGA media praise of Nick Shirley, which is hilarious that they call it that, because a YouTuber with a million followers put out something that is easily demonstrated to be true and easily demonstrated to be a horrible outing of the ridiculousness of fraud in Minnesota that we all knew existed. But people are attacking it for being white supremacist or some crazy thing, which is insane to me. But it definitely evens the playing field in a way that is necessary for the liars to think they can't get away with the lie. And our society only changes when the liars think they can't get away with the lie. It doesn't change when you catch a few liars and actually the rest of them don't get caught, or you know that they did something bad, but you benefit, so you keep silent on it. It's the fact that the future lie will not only be outed, but that eventually there will be, hopefully, consequences to pay. And that's something that I think that Scott Jennings and a lot of other people have been talking about now. We can't just have this be the end of this story. You can't just have the depth of fraud, the amount of ways in which Tim Walz feels uniquely connected to it, or Ilhan Omar or anyone else. You have to have that fully investigated, and people have to go to jail. People have to be held responsible. This can't be a whoopsie, our bad mistake. The way that, again, as I said to open the show, there is millions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars of fraud that take place throughout the country every single year. And so when people are asking, how do we get back to a place where you trust each other, where things get better, you hold the bad guys responsible. You demonstrate to the other bad guys that they won't be allowed to do this, and that if they do it, they'll actually have to go to jail. It's very similar to the deterrent that exists right now for people who are here illegally by sending people back home. You are demonstrating that the country is no longer wide open to whatever you want, and we have severely impacted the amount of people who are showing up at our border right now. That is a deterrent that's goal is to change the way things are happening in society. We have to do this as far as the people who are doing bad things and defrauding our government in all kinds of ways, defrauding us, the taxpayers, even if those people are eventually the government itself and all the ridiculous kickbacks that we all think they're getting.
This is Rob Gronkowski from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. Sunday mornings are sacred. I've got my game day routine, coffee, jersey laid out, and my lucky playlist. But the real game changer? new morning Uncrustables sandwiches.
I've always loved Uncrustables sandwiches, and now I'm all about the new flavors with 12 grams of protein. Bright-Eyed Berry or Up an Apple. Bright-Eyed Berry's got that flashy, finessey vibe, like your favorite slot receiver.
Up an Apple, tough and reliable, like a do-it-all tight end.
And players love them. Did you know teams crush over 80,000 Uncrustables sandwiches a year? They know what's good.
It's a snack that can go with you anywhere, from the couch to the tailgate or even in the locker room. Soft bread, yummy fillings, protein packed. Once it's part of your ritual, you don't skip it.
Easy enough for Gronk to grab straight from the freezer.
Your new Sunday kickoff ritual starts here with the new morning Uncrustables sandwiches, packed with 12 grams of protein.
Hi, I'm Andy Staples from Andy and Ari on 3, and another five-star quarterback just entered the transfer portal. That's what college football is now, a nonstop adventure, and we cover it every day at Andy and Ari on 3, whether it's the transfer portal, the college football playoff, the coaching carousel, you name it, and guess what? It doesn't stop even when the season ends. So join us every day, Monday through Friday. New episodes drop at 3 p.m. wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. It's time for a Quick Five on the Dana Show. D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter. Great ways to stay connected to her. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Bees now have legal rights. Not here in the United States. This happened in the Amazon. Stingless bees, specifically, one of the oldest bee species in the world, needed to be protected, according to some of the people who live there. And one of the dumbest things I've read in this year, as far as news goes, the bees now have the right to a, you know, healthy habitat, to certain life conditions. And here's my favorite one, the ability to lawyer up. If the bees feel, and I don't know how you'd assess this, that something has happened that's unfair to them, or I guess someone who wants to speak for the bees feels as though they need to sue somebody, they can now do it in the Amazon. It is a world first, the first animal or species of animal that is capable of getting its own lawyer to defend itself and speak for the collection of bees that can take a class action lawsuit against, I don't know who, the neighbor for being a jerk. But this is a real thing, an actual story somewhere beyond stupid, and the people who are a part of it are saying they hope that it's the first of a whole bunch of other animals getting legal rights and lawyers just finding a new way to make a ton of money. I love the amount of times that I get an email saying I was a part of a class action lawsuit because of Facebook or something, and I'm about to get $10 in the mail, which I don't even think it's actually come all that often. I don't think I get the check. Probably because I don't actually give them my information to get the check, because I'd rather skip the 10 bucks than give an organization I don't know who it is this kind of stuff. But now, apparently, the stingless bees in the Amazon can be added to that list. If their Facebook pages are screwed up, man, oh man, how those lawsuits are going to grow. How stupid this is. Other things out there that I saw were interesting. Beyonce is now a billionaire. I don't care about this story at all, but someone out there might. Beyonce is the latest person to reach $1 billion, which means that California now officially wants to tax her because they want to cover up their own fraud. Good luck to all the people out there that now want to take more money from Beyonce, because she's too rich. She's terrible. We got to make sure to take all her money away because of the success she had. I think that's the narrative on the left, right? A defenseless Uber Eats robot was attacked by two people. The people were dressed as a cow and a Pikachu, which would be the Pokemon. There's so many stories about this, about drones and other things and Uber Eats robots and stuff that get attacked, that get taken down. I guess they're going to need their own legal defense team too at some point, which God forbid we ever get there. But I do think that this is pretty hilarious. There's a viral video of two costumed individuals taking out an Uber Eats robot and somebody who didn't get their food. Because this will be the inevitable byproduct of a whole bunch more robots and drones in our society. And by the way, one last thing about the drone delivery. I know Amazon's a big fan of this. I know they've been touting the ability for it to happen in places like Dallas or parts of California and whatnot. Arizona, I think, is doing it. And more places are going to have it. The whole point of immediate delivery by drone, to me, is that as a married man, I forgot something. There's an anniversary that I screwed up on, some sort of event that I was supposed to buy something for that I have to look the missus dead in the eyes and go, of course I bought you that thing for that thing that you want to go to. And then I have to order it by drone and you pay the extra money for it to fly into the backyard. My favorite idea in that thought is that I'd also have to distract the missus while the drone delivers the thing that I claimed I've had for a while. And that feels challenging. So maybe the first thing I buy via drone is like the 3D goggle headset so that I can tell her to watch a movie in the 3D goggles. And then that's where I get the other thing delivered by drone. But by and large, I think I can wait the extra day for whatever my item is if I'm not going to get in trouble from the missus because I've forgotten something. I think I can wait 1 or 2 days for someone to deliver it the old-fashioned way and not have to fly drones everywhere in the country. It feels like it's a step unnecessary. And again, the only time it's valuable, likely to also be the time I get in trouble for definitely have forgotten that thing. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A lot of stuff to talk about. D Lash, Dana Lash Radio and X on Twitter are great ways to stay connected to her and everything going on from her social media team. She's all over the place, though. You can find her everywhere. The first, whatever you look for. Dana is very, very famous. So it's very easy to find her at Radio Craig C. If you want to find someone who's way less famous than her and occasionally gets to babysit this very cool show. I do love a viral chain of tweets, a viral list of things on X, in which a whole bunch of these organizations that are the fraudulent places in Minnesota are simply pictured. You can see how close they all look and some of the ridiculous names of some of the organizations. So I'm going to get to that in a little bit because I really like that. But there's another story out there that seems like it's starting to grow in scope. The amount of people who got fraudulent federal rental assistant payments. At first, I think they told us something like 30,000 dead people got some sort of payment. $5.8 billion in questionable disbursements went out in the fiscal year of 2024 from the Biden rental assistance program. Now there's an assumption that there's like 200,000 dubious rental assistant recipients, a whole bunch of people who might have never lived in any of the places in which they were claiming to live at, P.O. boxes, all kinds of things to demonstrate how this money is getting stolen and then moved other places. But at least 30,000 dead people apparently needed rental assistance in 2024. That's got to be tough to be not alive and then also have to still pay your rent. That's got to be crazy to deal with that as only somebody can if they're defrauding the government. All right, let's go through it. This list of all the different tweets on here that I found pretty amusing. AO Children's Center is one that definitely is not operating, it seems. Lucky Child Care Center, which doesn't seem lucky at all as they have a ton of overgrown grass in the area. Motherly Love Daycare Inc. is another one. It is connected to a meat and grocery market, which, you know, that feels appropriate. You're going to go get some Motherly Love childcare right next to grabbing some groceries from the halal meat market. Star Children Care Center. Apple Child Care Center is also one that exists. Future Scholars Child Care, which seems like it's people that are, you know, definitely hoping for a lot of great results to their non-existent child care. I Care Child Center was one of my favorite ones that was out there. And also Rising Stars Children LLC, which has absolutely no building whatsoever. The address appears to be close to a listing for a home that was for sale online, but not actually at it. So it seems like someone adjusted the address based on what they saw online to a place that doesn't exist at all. So when you zoom in, you just see an empty street and nothing. So really, hopefully, Rising Stars are going to be, you know, cared for and groomed on that busy highway street that they're claiming is an area. But the list goes on and on. There's so many crazy ones. And it just seems like the kind of thing, and Minnesota has known about this for so long, that you couldn't possibly have believed, like you can't possibly think that the amount of government people necessary to okay this believed these things were real. And by the way, one of the other crazy things that happened recently in Minnesota, they have taken down the child care licensing page that was publicly available information that allowed for a lot of people to look into these places and allowed for Nick Shirley, the YouTuber, to visit a bunch of the places that were likely to be fraudulent areas and fraudulent childcare and whatnot. It's now completely down. And the statement on the page says that there's a high amount of volume and traffic And so they're working on getting the website back up. But it definitely seems like they're hiding things and they're terrified of what is to come with more and more people potentially looking into this. All of this is to set up audio of the owner of the Quality Learning Center, the infamous place that misspelled its learning in its name and then didn't fix it, even though they've gotten millions of dollars in money from the government. They thought that it was fine with the one sign that's misspelled, that nobody cares, not a big deal. That guy did an interview. So not only did that establishment have kids at it yesterday, which felt like a immediate response to the news coverage and an attempt to pretend as though what happened on Monday is what you can assume is happening all the time, even though the reality is that probably wait a couple weeks and no one's going to be showing up there again. And many of the people in the neighborhood said they've never seen kids there. But anyway, somebody showed up, said he was the guy who runs it, says they operate all the time, says where are the people that are checking to see if this is legit, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not afraid of playing the news and playing anybody on any side of it. So this is a guy saying all this is lies. All this is crazy. And the YouTuber is just targeting Somalians because of racism or something. But here we go. Here's the way he goes about trying to say all this. He does sound somewhat reasonable in the things he's saying, but that's the point. He's doing this on purpose because he knows how ridiculous it is to try to pretend the place he's in charge of, air quotes, is actually a real establishment taking care of kids, even though it's been in trouble a tremendous amount of times in the last few years for definitely not doing what they claim they're doing. But here we go.
What would you say to Nick Shirley, the YouTuber, if he was standing in front of you?
I have
right
nothing
now
against him himself, but I do have something against the rhetoric. It's, if you're going to be a journalist, just be, have a moral compass. Like, do what you do correctly.
Crazy.
If you catch business that are fraud, no one here is with that. Or like, we all support that as a community. I don't support that myself. I was born and raised. I'm not for fraud.
Uh-huh.
Like, the notion that, hey, a certain batch of somebody got caught, so all of them support it, it's like, no. No one, if in any community, any mishaps that happen, the rest of the community obviously doesn't want that to happen. It's a stain on all of our names.
I love that he called it a mishap, by the way, because if you're trying to dive deep into the things that this guy is saying and how he's defending himself and saying, of course, it's not fraud, it's a bunch of kids here, look at the performative thing that we've set up for today to make everybody, and we've invited news and media here because we want them to know that we're a real establishment and we're anti this. But then he calls it a mishap. Billions of dollars of fraud feels like it's a bigger thing than a mishap. And I love that he says, I'm not for it. Who supports fraud? What version of a conversation would come out there and say the opposite? I mean, what moron ever admits to their crime, even when they're super caught in the crime, when it's definitively obvious that they're lying? What people out there actually plead guilty? Very, very few of them, if any. He's definitely going the other road, and it's ridiculous. Let's let it continue.
You guys can see, we don't want that to happen. We don't take part in that. We don't like that. We don't want that in our communities. But just to say, hey, a certain company got caught, so they must all do it. And I feel like that's what he's doing. I'm not a fan of that.
2-10 p.m. may not be your typical daycare hours. Yep. So can you explain why it is that you operate during
these
hours?
The reason for that is we're after school hours. So all of our clients is after school hours. So schools, earliest dismissal would be 2:15 to 2:30-ish. And the latest dismissal would be up to like 4:30-ish, 4:40-ish. So that's when our kids come to us. We don't have anyone in the morning.
I wish they went even further with that. They're like, we are 1 a.m. to 10 a.m. Those are our hours. I don't know why anyone's not coming during our regular hours. We are the overnight childcare service that helps people who need to check in their kids overnight. The other thing that's funny about this, as he's saying it, and as there is activity at the Quality Learning Center, he did say the reason for the lack of changing the sign is just that they didn't think it was a big deal, and the graphic designer was the one who made the mistake. But nonetheless, the thing I love is it's still not 99 kids. As Nick Shirley pointed out when he confronted the business and no one was there to open the doors, it's supposed to be 99 children that are being taken care of daily, according to the government information that makes them get millions of dollars in funding. And it's just one dude in a t-shirt with a coat on because it's Minnesota, standing there and describing how his business is legitimate. If they are making millions of dollars off the government, you would think that they would actually have a ton of employees, that there'd be a bunch of people there to take care of the 99 kids. And then there'd be a bunch of different other services, you know, food and whatnot that comes in, and a bunch of the places that cater to these businesses that say they're taking care of children or the elderly are actually family members of the people who are running the facility in the first place. So that's pretty convenient that the catering service I get is just my my relative, who apparently is a really great cook and deserves to be paid their millions of dollars for the food they're making for our you know, establishment or our organization. It's just crazy. The unapologeticness of this fraud, and now the stupidity of trying to attempt to pretend as though it's not happening. Like, they're offending the American people multiple times in the short span of time that this story has been a thing that's been in the national consciousness and not just something that was more locally something people talked about. As I said, they've been doing reports on this occasionally in Minnesota for years. They haven't been talking about it recently. Apparently, no one in mainstream media cared if any of those problems they noticed in 2018 or 19 ever got fixed. But the other thing that's so offensive is how they think this will work. They think people will believe it. And they've seen this before. One of the childcare places that got in a lot of trouble in Minnesota years ago actually did have performative versions of parents coming with children, pretending to drop them off at the childcare facility, and then coming back shortly after the drop-off to pick them back up. And the thing they found out was that many of these parents were also getting money from the childcare company. They were essentially the quote-unquote employees who were just pretending as though their kids went there in case someone was watching. The occasional visit, the drop-in, you know, to check and see if something is going on, if something is legitimate. That's how this works. If you think there's attention, you might do it for a couple weeks and then they'll go right back to having absolutely nobody there when they think anyone is no longer paying attention. The bad news for them, because of Nick Shirley's of the world, is someone probably will always be paying attention. Who that is might change, but the fact that, you know, everyone's going to forget this story seems highly unlikely.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
This is Julian Edelman from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. Sunday mornings, I've got my game day ritual. Coffee, lucky socks, and now new morning Uncrustable sandwiches.
It's all about that 12-gram protein boost with the new Uncrustables Bright-Eyed Berry or Up and Apple flavors.
Bright-Eyed Berry's got a feisty receiver energy.
Up and Apple? Your classic do-it-all tight end.
Soft, pillowy, packed with protein, and easy enough for Gronk to grab from the freezer.
Whether you're on the couch, driving to the tailgate, or heading to the locker room, new morning Uncrustable sandwiches are the MVP of snacks.
Your new Sunday kickoff ritual starts here with new morning Uncrustable sandwiches packed with 12 grams of protein.
Hi, I'm Andy Staples from Andy and Ari on 3, and another five-star quarterback just entered the transfer portal. That's what college football is now, a nonstop adventure, and we cover it every day at Andy and Ari on 3, whether it's the transfer portal, the college football playoff, the coaching carousel, you name it, and guess what? It doesn't stop even when the season ends. So, join us every day, Monday through Friday. New episodes drop at 3 p.m. wherever you get your podcasts.